you who are visiting for the first time, last week we began a sermon series on what the church is, and we entitled that "The Church Matters." Because sometimes you might go to different churches and, you know, people think, well, I can have a relationship with Jesus apart from the church. I don't need the church. I have people tell me that before, that you can just love Jesus but don't love the church. And I'm here to tell you, biblically speaking, you cannot do that. You have to love God and you have to love God's people. That's we've been commanded to do that. So we initiated that whole idea of the church matters, and why is it that the church matters? We talked about the definition of the church, and hopefully they can get the slide working over there so you can see and be focused on that too. The definition of the church is the assembly, the church is the congregation, the church is the gathering together of people who profess their belief or faith in Jesus. So the church is really not the building, the four walls that you see here. The church is the people that believed in Jesus as Lord. Remember, the church, Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it, will not overcome. So the church belongs to Jesus. That's when the church does not belong to a pope. The church does not belong to a preacher. The church does not belong to anybody but Jesus. Why? We find that through Scripture, because Jesus is the one who bought it. He paid with his own blood to purchase people from all tongues, tribes, and nations. That's what the church is. The Church of Jesus Christ, one of the things that I want you to learn today, we're going to be talking about the nature of this church that Jesus created. One of the nature of the church is that the church is global. The church is global. Thank you, guys. Working. It's global in scope. Global means it's universal. In other words, when we say the church is universal, we're saying the Church of Jesus Christ is made of all believers all throughout the globe, all throughout the earth, that profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's global. But also, the church is local. Because, and hopefully they can get that little picture that I have. This is a slide that will portray that very nice. There's the global church. See, it's the whole earth. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to get people from all over, from here, from Staten Island, from Jersey, from all over the world, from Africa, Haiti. That's the global church. People that believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior from different parts of the globe. But then the global church is also made into local churches. And the next slide, I think, portrays what local churches are. For instance, we're here in Staten Island. We're a local church, but we also belong to the larger global church. You guys understand that? So the global church is made of little local churches, just like that. And I have to include SICC right there. So as you see, you got the global church, and it's made of many different local churches. That's the idea that you get when you study the Scripture, when you go through the Bible, and you see that some of the books in the New Testament, they were written to churches. That's the case in 1 Thessalonians 1. 2 Corinthians 1, 2, Paul says, to the church at Corinth, there were churches in Ephesus, churches in Philippi. And so you get that idea when you're reading the Bible in the New Testament. Also in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus is writing to seven churches in the province of Asia. There's a church of Philadelphia, Smyrna, Pergamum, and Ephesus. So those are local churches, and they all belong to the global church. So some of the things we need to understand when we talk about the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible utilizes a lot of metaphors or imagery about the church to help us understand what the church is here to do. What is the church's mission? The church is known as a body. You get metaphors like the church is a family, the bride of Christ. You hear about the lampstand. All those imagery or metaphors throughout the New Testament will help you understand what the church is. I said last week, the church is never a institution. The church is never a business throughout the Bible. It's always something alive, an organism, a body, a family. So today, I'm going to be looking at one of those metaphors that the Bible portrays for the church, and it's the body. That's one of my favorite. You and I are called the body of Christ. It's Christ because he purchased it. And when we talk about the mission. So the body of Christ is to accomplish Christ's mission. Jesus, when he walked the earth, he said, "I came to seek and save what was lost." What do you think our mission as a church, as the body of Christ, is? To save and seek what was lost. That's really, in a nutshell, that's our mission for the church. And the Bible talks about what is also our mission, or what is part of that mission. To save and seek the lost means that you and I, our responsibility is to try to get people to become disciples of Jesus. That's known as the Great Commission. You're saving people by making that they become disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. When you become a follower, then you come to be part of what is known as the church, or the body of Christ. If you got your Bibles with you, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 12 through following. There are many verses that talks about the body of Christ, like Ephesians 1:23, Romans 12, 3 through 8. So what does the Bible teach us about the church when it says that it is a body, the body of Christ? So reading from 1 Corinthians 12 from the ESV, Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, "For just as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are but one. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. Or if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he desired. The church is the body of Christ. You get that picture from Scripture. But what does it mean, the body of Christ? And I love what Paul says. He says, talking about the human body, he says, the body is one, but it's made of many members. So the church is one, but it's made of many members. So the body of Christ. And then he says, all those members, so when you look at our human body, you realize there's diversity in the members. Not every member is doing the same function. Not every member of the body is doing the same role, is playing the same role. And some of you that are nurses, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you go through biology and you realize the complexity of the human body. That means it's like boggles our minds how complex it is and how each member has to be working what they were being designed to do in order for that body to be healthy, in order for the body to be well. So Paul said that there are many members, and all the members of the body form one body. In other words, all the members of the body are connected. You don't see an ear somewhere floating in the air. They have to be connected somewhere here. Otherwise, you know how when you're working and you just hit your finger, and that sends a signal to the brain, and the brain computes that, and then it's just a matter of seconds, and then it sends a signal to the mouth, and the mouth says, "Ouch!" or whatever else comes out. But everything is connected because the body is one, but it's made of all kinds of members. And there's a diversity in members. There's also diversity in function. Not every part of the body is doing the same thing. Otherwise, Paul says, if you just be an ear, what would the sense of smell be? I mean, you're still going to need all those other bodies, parts, to be connected and to do the work that they've been called to do. I love that verse when he says, for all of us, verse 13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks and slaves and free. That reminds me of what Paul also wrote to the church in Galatia. When he says, Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew or Gentile or Greeks, neither slave or free, female or male, for all of us are one in Christ. That's the whole idea of the image of the body. The body, it has harmony. When you look at it, there's unity in the members of the body. In other words, that's the same thing If I look at the human body, and the church is called the body, so I need to realize, just like the body has harmony, the church must have unity and harmony for the church to function well as the body of Christ. The church, when the church started, began with Jewish people, and later on, he expanded to Gentiles, Greeks, Romans, and even today, you see so many different ethnic groups coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ to make the global church. So in Christ, you see, that's the complexity. There's also the diversity. There's Jew, there's Greeks, there's slave. In those days, there was slavery was predominant in those in biblical times. There were in the church, there were masters. There were people who owned slaves, and there was also slaves in the churches. So there's slaves and free, female and male. We are one in Christ. That's what the body of Christ is. That's the, this unity among the parts of the body. One of the things that I learned through the text is God is the one who arranged the elements of the members of the body. God is the one who placed you exactly where he wants you to be. You see, when I understand that, I realize I should not be, as a part of the body of Christ, I should not be arguing or complaining because, well, maybe I want to do this. I don't want to be an eye today. I don't want to be an ear today. I want to be a nose. You see, you look at the human bodies, none of those members of the bodies do that. They just do what they've been called to do. But in the churches, sometimes people split churches because somebody said, no, I want to be over there and sing songs. But maybe God did not call you to sing songs. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe God has other things for you to do, but not to sing songs or do certain other things that you would like to do. Remember the whole argument that he goes like, if the eye said, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. And then it will be like my son does sometimes, like, I don't belong to the body because you do belong to the body. The thing is, that's not your function. That's not your role. You're just going to find out what God called you to do. So Paul said, if the whole body would just be a hand, where will be the foot? I mean, it's almost like, what if the hand decides one day, I don't want to be a hand anymore, I want to be a foot, and then the hand is just doing this. But you're always pulling it. Because like, oh. It has a mind of its own. It wants to be a foot today. It doesn't want to be a hand, so you won't be able to do this or this. You cannot do it with your foot, can you? So it's like, imagine, how dysfunctional the body will be. If every, the arm decides, well, I'm not going to bend the elbow today. You'll be walking all day like this. And it's like, the body will be, it will be terrible. So every member is needed for the body to be healthy, to be well. So the body is one, but it's made up of many members, and every member is connected to one another. Every member has a function or role to fulfill within the body of Christ. And God is the one who rearranged it. So each member of the body is placed exactly where God wants them to be. The members are to fulfill their function and not desire to do something else they have not been called to do or created to do. Look at what he says. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And 19 says, if we all were a single member, where would the whole body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. See, that's another thing. We all gonna need each other as members of the body of Christ. There's a connection. We call that in church fellowship. We're going to need each other to be able to have the Church of Christ healthy and moving forward. Otherwise, it's not going to go anywhere. In order for the body to function well, all its members must do what they've been called to do. See, like I said, the human body, the members of your body don't fight with one another. The lungs doesn't fight with the heart and with the liver. They all doing what they've been created to do, and then you have a healthy body. You know, body. You know how it is when you get hurt somewhere, either from within or from outside. You feel it. You have a back pain, you cannot do a lot of things. You know, you gotta go see a chiropractor to fix you up. You gotta go see a chiropractor, whatever, to get you ready so you can accomplish what you are intended to do. Because all the members are all connected. And we're gonna need so you might think, well, I'm just a little finger in the hand, so that doesn't do much. Yeah, eliminate that finger out of the hand and see whether you're going to need it or not. Because there's so many things you realize, and sometimes you realize, like, wow, I was shoveling snow today, and I realized, like, I didn't, use the muscle a lot. It's like, man, I'm sore today. Because all the body is a unit, it's one, but it's connected. And all the members are going to need one another. In the human body, like I said, the members don't fight. Or they are envious of somebody, of another member's function. Sometimes in the Church of Christ, we see that a lot. Churches have split up because somebody wanted to, well, I want to be the one teaching Sunday school, or I want to be this thing. But perhaps, hear me again, that's not the gift, the giftedness that God has given you. Perhaps that's not what God told you to do. Now, nevertheless, you still need it. Some people say, well, I don't do much in church. All I do is the PowerPoint. All I do is that, you know, I come and get the bulletin to people. That's still needed. The day that you stop doing that, everybody was like, nobody gave me a bulletin. You know, it's like this dysfunction in the body. I always tell the guys when they go on vacation to upstate New York and some of the things that they already do in this church, in this local church, we all suffer. Somebody else has to do something because nobody did the program today. Nobody's doing the PowerPoint. Nobody's doing this thing. And it's like you realize, like, what's going on? Because we needing members of the body. And in our local body, our local church, people, that's how it's run. And so when you're not here, we're lacking it. Members are needed for the body to function properly. Now, in the body of Christ, like I said, there's no division in a human body. There should not be division in the Church of Christ. And that's what he says in verse 21. Following. Check out verse 24. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. In our unpresentable parts, we treat with greater modesty. Which are more presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the other members suffer together. If one member is honored, all the other members rejoice. That's what happens in the body. So for here, the whole thing is disconnected, and you're not able to accomplish certain things. So in the body of Christ, the church, he talks about we are to have this unity, just like in a human body. We are to have this harmony. If one member suffers, we also suffer. If one member rejoices, we also rejoice with them. When somebody has a concern, we are to be concerned for one another because that's what the body does. So if we are the body of Christ, we are to imitate what a human body does, how it functions. So, I mean, that's what I learned when I hear about the church is the body of Christ. So if I look at the human body and I learn so much from the complexity and how it is all connected, so I have to be connected. So you see, the church matters. You and I need to belong to a body. God did not create Lone Ranger Christians, people that say, well, I can just love God and be at home. And I don't need any. You and I need to be connected. That's one of the things I learned from the body. You need to belong to a body. And I don't know where you are, but you need to be connected to a church body, either here or somewhere, because you cannot make it on your own. You still have function that God created for you within his body, within the church, and he expects you to do them. So there's unity in the body of Christ. That unity has to exist. And this care for one another. I mean, you saw that in the first church, in Acts. He says that there was not even a needy person because from time to time they would sell their possessions. They would take care of one another. When the world outside see that we are caring one another, that we love you really, when we say I love you, I really mean exactly that. When the world sees that, they're going to realize, I want to be part of that bunch of people. I want to be part of that body because they're genuine. When they love one, when people come here sometimes, they see like how we love one another. That's contagious. And that's attractive. It's like, I want to belong. That's another word that we use. You belong to the body. You're part of that. You belong to this whole bunch of, I belong to you, you belong to me. That's what the whole body of Christ is. This is the unity right there among ourselves, among believers. There's no division among the human body. There should not be division in the church. I love what Jesus said. Jesus prayed his prayer in John 17. And when he prayed He said he was praying for his apostles, he was praying for his disciples, he also prayed for you and I, because he prayed. He said, I pray for those who will believe because of their message, that they may be one, just like you and I, Father, are one. From the get-go, Jesus prayed for unity for the body of Christ, because who on earth want to join a whole bunch of people that all they do is fight about everything in the church? Nobody wants to be part of that body, but when they see love genuinely displayed, when they see unity that we, despite our diversity, Greek, Gentiles, Filipino, Hispanic, whatever, when they see that we all consider ourselves brothers and sisters in Christ, they're going to understand then that we're serious about Jesus and they want to be part of that. And that's going to be attractive to the world, because they're going to realize that's a body of Christ. And those people are serious. They don't care where they come from. They don't care. Some people might have a lot of money or some people might not. But they still love one another. And the people come with baggage and the past, whatever. But they come and they're treated in love the way God calls us to love. It's like, I want to be part of the body. Do you realize that one of the institutions it's not even an institution, but one of the things that we have in society is the gangs. People join that gang because they feel, I belong here. And I realize if I belong, these people are going to have my back. They imitate fellowship better than some churches do. Because they're just like one there for one another. I mean, you know, when I said that I got your back, I mean exactly that. And I realize if I need something, I can go to you because you're going to help me. If you don't have it, you're going to help me seek it. Gangs do that, and I always felt like the Church of Christ should be the one really imitating, exemplifying Jesus when we say what Jesus did, the unity that people realize, you know, I mean, people were awestruck in the first century because they saw how the Christians, Jews and Gentiles, they cared for one another. So I'm like, wow. And guess what's going to happen when the world sees that we care, really care for one another? And we are there for one another and God getting each other's back, helping one another. My car broke down. I mean, I've seen that in churches. There was a lady one time at a small group and she was a single mom with two teenage daughters. Her washing machine broke down. You know what the small group did? They bought her another one. They did not even have to bring it to the whole church, but some people had the means to help this mother. And she was driving 50 miles every Sunday to attend that church, that body. And the people realized, you belong to us, and we belong to you. I mean, what if it would have been me? And so the people collected money, and they bought a washing machine for her. That lady's still in the church. She came and visited us one time. She was in the New York City area, and she came to this church. I didn't tell you who she was, but... And to me, that lady, she will be involved in the children's program. She will be, and she wanted it to do. Some of the elders used to say, like, well, you're doing too much already. And I told the elders one time, if God called that lady to do that, don't you get on their way of her serving God. Let her do it. She's joyous doing this. She wants to do the vacation Bible school, the children's program. And she's a single mom with two teenage daughters, and she still would travel to do, and she used to work in that town to do that, all because that's who she was. But that was her role. And I said, empower her to do that. And so it's amazing. Like, there was unity in the body. People take care of their needs. You and I can talk about examples how people in that church, they've been taking care of you. Remember, I was telling the story when I first came to the States. I didn't have family. Well, I didn't have a blood family, but I had a larger family than what I thought I had. And it was a church. People gave me some jackets so I would not be cold. I didn't even have to pay. I wanted to play baseball, and somebody said, well, here, here's the clicks. Here's the shoes, baseball shoes. So I got to play that because somebody donated for me. Taking care. And they were not even my brothers and sisters from my, you know, biological. But I realized in God's family, you had a large family. We all belong. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that we don't even know yet. Do you realize that? All because we all belong to the body of Christ. And we take care of each other's need. I went to college and I couldn't pay my tuition. Somebody from the family of God paid for me to go to college. And you know what I do now that I have a little more money? I send money to college so that somebody else that would be in the same shoes that I was can go to college too. And God can use that to be a member of somebody, of a body, a local church somewhere. And you see, that's what God does. That's why the church matters. You and I belong to this body that we call Staten Island. But you don't know where life's going to take you tomorrow. See, we came from the Midwest. And we're here today. So the church matters, and we are the body of Christ. And everywhere life takes you, you are to continue doing what God has called you to do. God wants unity in his body. He said, may they be one, just like you and I are one. Now, verse 27, I didn't include verse 28 because I want to talk about verse 28 next week. That in the body of Christ, there's leaders that God has given you and I to continue nurturing our faith and walk. Well, verse 27, Paul says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You are part of the body of Christ, the church. You belong to God, and you also belong to one another. We belong to each other. He placed you in this body to do something. Now, you might not know yet what it is that God wants you to do, but nonetheless, if you and I are still here alive, and we're not there, that God hasn't come to get us, we still got something to do. It's like that, you say, the work's not done yet. So if we are here, we come together, Staten Island Christian Church, because God has something else for us to do. We might not know what it is, but you got to wait and find out what it is. And that's what we're going to be talking later on in the coming soon series that will come from next week. Like how you find out what your gift is in the church. How you find out, how you get plugged in into the area that really, that's really your calling. That's really what God wants you to be a member of that particular body. So you and I have a role, have a function to fulfill within the church. I love what Casting Crowns, they have a song about it. But if we are the body, remember, but if we are the body, why aren't the hands reaching? Why aren't the feet going? And why aren't his word teaching? So because everybody in the body of Christ has a job to do. You and I are the body, and we belong to one another. The